Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, April 5th, 2024. Sudanese refugees in Upper Nile State look for support to complete their university studies.
When the students finish senior four, the NGOs offer them jobs. At work, they earn money and will decide to get married. When a lady also stays idle, she will also get married after finishing senior four.
And World Food Program delivers relief aid to Darfur for the first time after many months.
Cross-border operations from Chad to Darfur are so critical to reach communities where children are already reported to be dying of malnutrition.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some refugees in Upper Nile's Maban County are calling for support for higher education. The Sudanese refugees say few students have secured scholarships to go to university, as most remain in the camps without jobs or employment opportunities. Mamer Abraham Kwart recently visited Bunj in Upper Nile State and reports for VOA from Malakal.
Young men and women in Maban County's refugee camps say they need scholarships to attend studies at universities across South Sudan. They say many of their families are vulnerable and cannot afford to send their children to institutions of higher learning. 25-year-old Hamim Mahamud, a refugee at Kaya Refugee Camp, completed Senior 4 3 years ago and is still waiting to enroll in a university.
We find like 200 students in Kaya, completed Senior 4, nowhere to go. No job opportunities, no scholarship for them to go out.
Mashair Musa, a women's representative in Batil Refugee Camp, says lack of educational support for higher learning has led to early marriages in the camp.
When the students finish senior four, the NGOs offer them jobs. At work, they earn money and will decide to get married. When a lady also stays idle, she will also get married after finishing senior four. And this education is not enough. We need them to study because education is the priority.
Azubair Jatu got some support from Albert Einstein German Academic Refugee Initiative, or DAFI scholarship, and was able to complete a bachelor's degree in development studies at the School of Human Development at St. Mary College in Juba. He says he will now use the knowledge he acquired to bring change in his community.
We will sit down and discuss about the things that will create massive awareness about the harmful cultures that we have in our community as refugees in South Sudan, Maban particularly.
Jatu is urging local and international non-profits to support Sudanese refugees who want to complete their studies.
The NGOs that are working here, or the partners who are delivering for us the services, they should also create for us environment of studies by bringing more scholarship chances to young people. Because we have many senior four guys now staying in the community. They have nothing to do. And when somebody stays for long, you see, it's not good, especially these talented young people.
Maban County hosts over 200,000 refugees from Sudan who settled in the camp since 2011. On April 15 last year, when conflict broke out between the Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, millions of civilians were displaced while others sought refuge in neighboring countries like South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Amer Abraham Kwart, reporting from Malakal, Upper Nile State.
Still on Sudan, the World Food Program reports desperately needed food aid has reached Darfur region for the first time in months. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The UN World Food Program reports two convoys crossed the border from Chad into Darfur in late March. They were carrying food and nutrition assistance for around 250,000 people in northwest and central Darfur. Lenny Kinsley, the WFP communications officer for Sudan, expresses relief that lengthy negotiations to reopen these routes have paid off. But she warns unless the people of Sudan receive a constant flow of aid through all possible humanitarian corridors, the country's hunger catastrophe will only worsen.
Cross-border operations from Chad to Darfur are so critical to reach communities where children are already reported to be dying of malnutrition. All corridors to transport food must remain open, particularly the one from Adre in Chad to West Darfur, where levels of hunger are alarming.
She adds the delivery of aid into other parts of Darfur through the Tin border crossing or across conflict lines from within Sudan must become quicker and easier. Since war between the Sudanese armed forces and paramilitary rapid support forces erupted a year ago, the United Nations reports more than 8.5 million people have become displaced, 6.5 million within the country. WFP reports 18 million are facing acute hunger, 90% of them in hard-to-reach areas. Speaking from Nairobi today, Kinsley says lengthy clearance processes for humanitarian cargo, bureaucratic red tape and security threats are making it impossible for aid workers to provide help to people trapped in Sudan's conflict hotspots.
WFP needs aid to be consistently reaching war-ravaged communities through every possible route. Hunger in Sudan will only increase as the lean season starts in just a few weeks. Our greatest fear is that we will see unprecedented levels of starvation and malnutrition sweep across Sudan this lean season, and that the Darfur region will be particularly hard hit.
She says she fears the lean season, which normally runs from May to September, could begin as early as next week and last much longer than usual. Kinsley explains crop production is at an all-time low because the fighting is preventing farmers from harvesting their crops. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
From Geneva, we move to Juba, where the UN says landmines still pose a threat to millions of people in South Sudan. After conflict broke out in 2013, the UN Mine Action Service says some 7 million acres of land have landmines and unexploded cluster bombs. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
24-year-old Mary Moyo Joseph, a resident of Nisitu village near Juba town, says she stepped on an anti-personnel landmine buried along the way to her farm.
I did not see anything. It was a path that people have been using, and I didn't know that there was a landmine down there. Suddenly, I heard a sound and found myself on the ground, and then I saw my leg was destroyed. Until now, when I hear a sound like the bursting of a car tire or the sound of a gun, I feel frightened and remember the day the incident happened.
Goran Tomasevich, who works for the United Nations Mine Action Service, says landmines, like the one that maimed Mary Moyo Joseph, are still a big threat to South Sudanese.
Actually, we had a 1 million titan destroyed a couple of years ago. We cleared millions of square meters of agricultural land. We cleared hundreds of kilometers of roads, but there is more work to be done. Currently, according to our contamination database, there are 17 million square meters of land remaining to be cleared in South Sudan.
Istarina KG Francis, another Nisitu resident, says people in her village found different types of landmines buried on farmland, making it risky for farmers to till their land.
As you try to dig, you find them with a hoe, cope somewhere like a ball, some others like tray, and others like jacks, and several different types. So many of them, some people even became afraid and avoided going for cultivation. You see that home, that one, and then the other home with a French. Two of them died of landmine.
Thomas Savage says accessing areas where landmines are buried poses a challenge due to the country's poor roads, insecurity, and flooding. Mike Rashid, Director General at the South Sudan Mine Action Authority, says millions of South Sudanese require assistance.
As per the 2024 humanitarian needs and response plan, more than 2.5 million people in South Sudan urgently require mine action assistance. We all know mine action plays a very important role in the development of this country and also in helping the delivery of humanitarian, much needed humanitarian aid in this country.
In 2023, South Sudan's transitional government of national unity passed a mine action law which prohibits the use of landmines and cluster munitions anywhere in the country. Human Rights Watch accused the South Sudan government and Ugandan forces in 2014 of using cluster bombs after President Salva Kiir invited Ugandan troops to help repel attacks by the SPLA-IO former rebels. Both the South Sudan and Uganda governments have denied the accusations. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, do you know how to sing the national anthem of your country? Stay tuned for an answer to that question after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. South Sudan is marking 13 years since its secession from Sudan in 2011. Many in the country say its national anthem, composed by students and teachers at University of Juba, is difficult to sing. The Dean of School of Arts, Music and Drama says some of the instruments used for composing the national anthem have disappeared. Juliana Shiapai reports for VOA from Juba.
The original version of the country's national anthem was drafted by Achir Deng Akwol in 2005, following the signing of Comprehensive Peace Agreement ending Sudan's longest civil war. The version entitled South Sudan Woye was later fine-tuned by a committee headed by the Sudan's People Liberation Army, General Malak Awen, and former Minister of Information Barnaba Marial Benjamin. In August 2010, a group of three composers from the University of Juba won a melody composition contest and were tasked with finalizing the national anthem for South Sudan. Gabriel Ernest Juma, Nido Samuel, and Arcangelo Juma are the three composers who won the competition, and their version became the official anthem of the country. Gabriel says it was an honor to compete and win the competition.
My message to those people who don't know how to sing the national anthem, they should learn how to sing the national anthem. Everyone should be able to sing the national anthem of his or her own country. The national anthem has many messages to every and each one of us. You need to learn that message. You need to learn the melody.
South Sudan's information minister and government spokesperson Michael Makuei said some leaders and institutions are abusing the national tune, prompting President Salva Kiir to ban the use of the anthem when he is not present. The anthem normally is only sung at South Sudan embassies and schools where children are taught the song. That makes it difficult for most people to perfect their skills in singing it. Justin Billy is the dean of the College of Arts, Music and Drama at the University of Juba. He urges the government to build a museum to preserve the musical instruments that were used to compose the national anthem.
Most of those instruments just disappear. I don't know where they are now, but we just left with one piano, which really played an instrumental role on music arrangement for the national anthem. And I think that piano need to be put in a national museum so that for the coming generation to see what kind of instruments people use.
But many South Sudanese struggle to sing their anthem. Many senior government officials appear to avoid singing it at official events. One senior official tried to sing the national anthem and his video went viral. Here is a test of his attempt. This program asked young men and women on the streets of Juba if they can sing their national anthem. Here is a sample of their attempts.
I'm Len William. I'm going for life from somewhere. Oh, Lord. Wait, the beginning is right? Praise and glorify you for your grace on South Sudan. Love from better by this. I've taken a long while, I really don't know. That's the part.
My name is Faiza Elisa. So I'm going to sing the national anthem. For God we praise and glorify you for your grace on South Sudan. Land of grace abundance. Of all us united in peace and harmony. O motherland, we raise white flag with the guiding star. And sing songs of freedom with joy.
My name is Maria Devi. Oh God, we praise and glorify for your grace in Sudan. About us, abundant united with peace and harmony. O motherland, we rise, raising flag with the guiding stars, and sing song for freedom with joy.
Many South Sudanese shy away from singing the national anthem. Some schools have students sing the anthem during morning parades, and many students struggle to master the lyrics. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
From Juba, we move back to Washington, where President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump won their party's presidential primaries in the Midwestern state of Wisconsin this week. With both their nominations secured, the candidates are fighting for a general election win in Wisconsin, which is one of the handful of swing states that could decide the 2024 race. VOA correspondent Scott Stans reports the campaigns are working to win the support of black voters in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin voters chose Donald Trump in 2016, but Joe Biden 4 years later, and it was close both times. So Wisconsin could go either way in this election, with a nearly evenly divided electorate splitting most public opinion polls. In a close race, both sides are trying to gain ground with new voters. For Republicans, that means trying to cut into Democrats' historic advantage with black voters. Orlando Owens is the Republican Party's first African-American chair in Milwaukee County.
Who is supporting your kids' education right now? Who's supporting black businesses right now? Who's supporting the idea of having a secure border right now? Who's supporting the idea of your gun rights right now, that you can defend yourself?
4 years ago, Biden won Wisconsin by fewer than 21,000 votes, but carried Milwaukee by more than 145,000 votes. Analysis by Marquette University says 53% of those winning ballots for Biden came from majority black wards.
Milwaukee doesn't have to turn Republican. We just need to have an uptick. That's why it's so important. If we can get just a small bump here in the city, a small bump in the county, we win the state. We win the state. We win the country.
Trump told supporters that his multiple criminal indictments have helped him with black voters.
And a lot of people said that that's why the black people like me, because they have been hurt so badly and discriminated against. And they actually viewed me as I'm being discriminated against. It's been pretty amazing.
Biden can't afford to lose the black vote in Wisconsin, and his campaign knows it, says political science professor Kathy Cohen.
Most individuals who follow the elections would say that without Milwaukee, Biden easily loses Wisconsin. I think the Biden campaign understands that. I think we will see a deep investment in ads and get out the vote and messaging and visits.
Biden was in Wisconsin last month announcing new funding to help right what he called historic wrongs.
For generations, black, brown, and Native American, Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, communities weren't fully included in our democracy or our economy.
For Milwaukee, Biden says that means new sidewalks and bike lanes, along with bus lanes and modern infrastructure.
These are life-changing improvements. They're also going to make it easy for historic black communities in the north and Latino communities in the south to access jobs, school, and entertainment. Opportunities in the city and central hub.
Wisconsin barber Antonio Perkins says he's still making up his mind.
I mean, I am undecided. It's funny, I voted for Biden to get Trump out of office last election, and now I'm swaying more to Trump because of the things that we thought it was going to be better, and it just actually got worse. So I'm definitely don't know which way to sway at this point.
That uncertainty among traditionally Democratic voters makes Wisconsin's already close race a focus for both campaigns through Election Day. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
It's time for comments from you, our listeners. And this week's comments is dominated by the abduction of the former mayor of Juba Town, Callisto Lado. Daniel Ariak Michael in Yeytown writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. The arrest of former mayor Callisto Lado is unlawful. This has sparked concern by the general public about unnecessary arrests of government officials and citizens of South Sudan by the government, which is unfair. Although the national security and other government entities are mandated to assist anyone suspicious, the case should be handled in a legal manner, not like the way Callisto was handled. This is injustice and it's against human rights or freedom and civic space for citizens as well as government officials." Sabri Khamis in Western Equatorial State, Yambi, writes, "I love the unity of and the solidarity of the Bari speakers. They have jointly stand very strong to condemn the arbitrary arrest of their son. Some of the communities in South Sudan should learn from them. So it's now either the government to look for the whereabouts of Callisto Lado or have problem with the entire Bari speakers. However, I'm just worried about Callisto's safety. Let us hope for the best." Those are words of Khamis Sabri. Another writer who did not want to reveal his name writes, "Hello, John Tanza and Nabil. It is not a surprise at all that the former mayor, Callisto Lado, was arrested because government security apparatus have turned into criminals all over the country. They hate anything good and feel offended whenever someone is telling them facts. Let them take him to court instead of detaining him incommunicado." Thomas Kuntoch in Bwali Refugee Camp, Kiriadongo District in Uganda writes, "Hello, VOA, South Sudan in Focus. The abduction of people in Juba by unknown elements always give bad image of our country. I'm requesting the government of South Sudan to arrest whoever they want to arrest during daytime in front of the public." Peter Gwoch Ajongdul in Lenken Town in Nyerol County writes, I totally agree with the South Sudanese refugees calling for, with the Sudanese refugees calling for ceasefire, such that the conflicting parties in Sudan could join together at the end of the Ramadan for the betterment of all South Sudanese. John Albert in Yambio, Western Equatoria State writes, hello VOA, I condemn the arrest of Callisto Lardu. The reason why he was arrested is he's speaking the truth because he stands with his citizens about the issue of land grabbing. Why is the government not arresting people who speak the truth? Why is it right for the church leaders and the lawmakers to complain about the arrest of Callisto Lardu? We call upon the government to release him or produce him in a court of justice. Cyrus Kiri in Juba writes, greetings to you, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. The government's indifference towards citizens is not only deplorable, but also a threat to the very fabric of the society. It is time for the government to prioritize well-being of its people and work towards creating a just and equitable society. Finally, Francis Oting Leo from Torit, Eastern Equatoria State writes, hello, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. I wish all South Sudanese happy Easter in advance and the dollar rising, our South Sudan pounds, and the commodities are rising in the market. Views expressed in this segment does not represent the views of the Voice of America or South Sudan in Focus program. Keep your text and voice messages coming. And our WhatsApp number is +12026308011. We shall sample some of your comments every Friday. And that's all we prepared for you this Friday, April 5th, 2024. We now leave you in a dancing mood with the song Malenge by Extra Musica from Congo Brazzaville. Na lela nanani na pesi bolingo na moto alingi ngaite soki na yebati mbela koka kiko sala erreur ya boye mama yeye mbongo temba na ngai tonzi na mawa je t'en prie reviens ma bien-aimée. We have been listening to Extra Musica from Congo Brazzaville and the song Malenge. A lot of people only think when they listen to music from Congo Kinshasa, they think everything comes from Kinshasa, but there are also good musicians in Congo Brazzaville. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Patrick Dare, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
bolingo nyoso ezalaka bwe bomisere abwe